This ball is hit high in the air, deep to left center field, taking Grossman all the way back. He's looking up. Grand slam, Bregman! Alex Bregman doubles up the score. It is now 8-0. Alex Bregman with his second career grand slam and the Astros' third slam of this road trip.
Alex Bregman with a grand slam last night as the Astros routed the A's last night. 9-1 the final, their 10th straight win, and the Astros now creep into first place in the American League West. 10 wins in a row, the franchise record is 12. Can this team be better than it was last season?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, it already is, just because of health.
Already?
Okay, let's see. Is Altuve playing through a broken kneecap? No, he's not. Does the bullpen have any questions or concerns? No.
They have a back injury.
They do not, yeah. Are the starting pitchers actually more well-rounded and strong and complete than you thought?
Kuzman pitching, great. Yeah.
Do they have a real challenge in the American League? Right now, no. I mean, it's the Tampa Bay Rays who have the best record in baseball right now. The Yankees are off to a slow start. I think we think they'll figure it out. The Red Sox have been a disaster, like an absolute disaster.
Total disaster. Absolute disaster.
That's the only annoying thing so far about this season has been that you let the Rangers feel good about themselves for a brief spell. That's the only thing that, frankly, eats and gnaws at me.
Well, they can do something about that after Oakland.
Yes, they can, because the road trip will continue. They have one more game tonight in Oakland before they go to Arlington for three.
I will seek out the person with that damned horn in Oakland, and
I agree.
I will choke them with their own
easy
horn.
Easy, Theon.
Can you imagine being sitting around them?
No, I can't imagine watching television trying to drift off.
I would not go to the games, like most of the people in Oakland don't go to the games.
I can't, they think, is that supposed to help get more people to the games? Hey, we've got an incredibly annoying and loud horn that we're going to beep. And it sounds exactly like a car horn. I kept drifting off and waking up thinking like somebody was outside my house honking the horn, angry with me.
I'm trying to figure out what instrument it actually is, because there's an article about it being about the Oakland Athletics trumpet guy that's behind a paywall in the East Bay Times. No idea where that is.
Our old web guy, who's an A's fan, said that there's a trumpet guy, and then there's also a couple of those European soccer horn things.
Vuvuzela?
Well, there's also a sax guy, apparently, too, because of Evan. And I don't know if Evan Scribner's still there for all I know. I don't know. The A's are all interchangeable to me. They're all just basically like random, like, plus minor league players that are underpaid because
except
of
for
money
the
ball.
Former Strohs that make miraculous defensive plays. In the
they were really, game. They were, you know, honestly, they could have, the Astros could have won by more runs if not for all those ridiculous plays the A's were making early on.
Yeah, they could have. They loaded the bases late in the game. I'll go back to the question real quick about can they be better than last year. They can be. It's still early to where I know all these guys are healthy. But unfortunately, you know, at some point, guys will start to get hurt. And hopefully that the injury toll is just not too bad on this team.
Injuries will hurt this team more than in the past because of no Marwin.
And they will miss Marwin Gonzalez to come in and replace guys who are hurt.
Yep. Fair point.
Damn Marwin. I'll pour my coffee on the new carpet for Marwin.
It's a really nice carpet.
Yeah. It's a nice carpet. Next headline, the Rockets and Jazz continue their series. Game 2 at Toyota Center tonight. Houston's coming off a 32-point win in Game 1, but Chris Paul wants to see more.
We can always get better. Our rebounding, you know, our defense can be better. We can limit our turnovers and just trying to stay sharp. You start back over this game 0-0.
What do you guys want to see in game number 2? I want to see. I'll just answer my own question real fast. I want to see.
Why do you do that? Look, well, I don't even ask you a question, but don't answer.
I'll tell you why. Because okay. I would say 90% of the time I'll just ask the question. But then I want to reserve 10% for giving my opinion first.
Okay, gotcha.
I want to see Chris Paul have maybe not an offensive explosion like he had in Game 5 against the Jazz last year, but I want to see more offensively out of Chris Paul. He's looked good in the last couple of months, but we haven't seen those kind of explosions where he like takes over, hits a bunch of crazy jumpers, hits a bunch of crazy threes. The Jazz will play better. They'll be better defensively. They'll be better against James Harden. This will be a closer basketball game. I want to see Chris Paul step it up offensively.
Boy, I just thought the way that Chris Paul was moving was plenty enough for me. And I'm very, very, very encouraged by the way he looked physically in that game. I feel like he's stepped it up to that proverbial extra gear in the playoffs.
What do you want to see?
I would like to see James Harden hit those floaters that he was missing in Game 1, because I think they're going to be there again.
Oh, yeah, I think that, yeah, James Harden and his stat line didn't look like he actually played, and he missed some open shots. Part of missing those floaters, though, is that, like, Gobert's arms are ridiculously long. It's not so simple just to be like, hey, floater, no big deal. But like, you got to change the whole arc on
We've talked about how we think he's slightly better at that this season. And
no, he's way, way better. No, he's not even slightly. Okay. He's had, like, three times as many of them. Like, it's the key to them dominating the Warriors later in the series, which they'll win by in six, by the way.
I like to see great balance like they had scoring in the first game instead of Harden scoring 29. Instead of 49, and the points are distributed. And a lot of that, of course, had to do with their lead. But I thought they played great in that first game, and I think they're going to blow them out.
Seven guys in double figures, almost eight, with Gerald Green having 9 points.
Rockets, they'll be favored by 6.5 points, 8:30 tip-off tonight at Toyota Center. Meanwhile, the Texans offseason program underway at NRG Stadium. How is Deshaun Watson approaching this year?
I'm going in full face throttle, full in, and embracing the whole process. It's a new year, it's a new opportunity for us and myself to be able to grind and get better. And the motto, of course, as always, is get 1% better each and every day. What am I doing each and every day to help myself master my craft and then help this team?
John, from talking to people covering this team, what does Watson need to improve on the most heading into year three?
Avoiding sacks. Some of those sacks were avoiding hits, not just sacks. He likes to throw the ball down the field. And he was third his first year, even though it didn't really count because he missed so many games and average per attempt. Last year he was third for most of the year and finished fourth. And I think that's very noble. He doesn't like to dump it off. They have to keep Lamar Miller in to block. It'd be nice for Miller to get out on some routes. But I asked O'Brien at the league meetings, what is the fine line of coaching a guy? You want the ball to come out, but you don't want to stifle his ability to throw the ball down the field. That would help, of course, if Will Fuller could stay healthy. And he said you can't do it. It's just experience.
I agree with basically all of that. I know the offensive line was very bad last season, but part of it, keyword, part of it was on Deshaun, and that's what I want to see improve the most in 2019.
Well, part of it was on Deshaun, but also I think specifically the pre-snap stuff in recognizing blitz, setting protections, understanding where it's coming. Because, a lot of people want O'Brien to spread it out more and just have more fast-developing routes. That means that a lot of times you're going to be stuck with only five guys in pass protection. And if somebody blitzes, the ball's got to come out immediately. Deshaun's got to do a better job of anticipating that. I thought he made progress along those fronts. Like, he didn't do well versus the Colts and versus a few specific teams. But there were times as the season went on where he recognized corner blitzes and knew where the void was going to be in the coverage and got the ball off pretty quickly. Hopefully with a complete offseason where he's not having to focus on rehab as much, he can really get down the finer mental parts of the game. That's the pre-snap blitz recognition is everything for him this year.
Next headline, the Patriots continue to use the Texans as a farm team. They have signed Demaryius Thomas to a contract. Could be worth up to about $6.5 million. All right, is this going to be Chad Johnson and Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt? Or is this going to be one of those actual fines for the Patriots?
This is not going to help the Patriots out a bit. This is a guy coming off of a torn Achilles that didn't do much for the Houston Texans last season. And I know that there's the idea that, okay, well, maybe he comes in with a little bit of a better feel for what the Patriots want when he comes here. I totally disagree with that. I think with Tom Brady, it is really hard to find wide receivers that he actually wants to work with. And when he checks out on somebody, he really checks out on somebody. They're taking a flyer on him. I doubt he even makes the regular season.
Well, I bet he's on PUP. I think they're just going to keep him. He's a midseason plan for them. Wouldn't you think, John?
I do. He was talking about he had a torn Achilles early in his career, and he came back in 6 months. But that's when you're in your early 20s, not when you're 31. I'm like Paul. I'd be surprised. I agree with you, Seth. He'll be on PUP. They'll give him a chance. And if they, if they like him, they'll activate him. They're slim. They let Hogan get away.
Yep.
If they let any other receivers get away.
Philip Dorsett they brought back.
Yeah, they brought back Dorsett. Josh Gordon suspended again, even though they want to keep him. So some point.
Still around.
If he can prove he can play, and speed's not his biggest asset, of course, I would think he would have a chance. And I hope, because he was a great guy, I hope for his sake he can recover at this stage of his career.
I hope he knows the playbook. This is the Texans basically brought him in so he could learn the playbook eventually.
It took a little time.
He didn't quite know it. But now the Patriots get him actually knowing the playbook.
I still like the Demaryius Thomas trade a lot because I like the aggression that Brian Gaines showed in late October. For me, Demaryius Thomas for the Pats is more of a plan B or plan C, despite when they sign him. To me, what the Patriots do next week in the draft is going to be what their plan A is, to surround Brady with better weapons. John McClain is with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions, Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Wednesday. John, I want to go back to something that you said a little bit earlier this hour, which is that cornerback is a bigger need than offensive tackle for the Texans. For some reason, I'm struggling with that right now because it's making me wonder, if cornerback's a bigger need, why did they only sign Roby and Boddy Calhoun? Shouldn't they have signed other guys at that spot?
If they thought they could come in and help them and play, yes, but obviously they didn't. And now, it's like I mentioned earlier, 35-year-old Jay Joe, Bradley Roby coming off mediocre year, Aaron Colvin disappointing. Those are your top three corners. And Brian Boddy Calhoun, he ended up being a dime safety for Cleveland after he was in as a slot corner. And he can do both, and they told me in Cleveland that that versatility is a reason he's got a good chance to make the team. But they better I think they need to use two of their first four picks on a corner. I don't think they will, but I think they do because it's not just bodies. They need talent.
I think also, Mike, that there are a couple things. One, I think Aaron Colvin is probably better than he showed last year and that it was mostly injury-related, and that's what the Texans feel. You don't sign a guy to a good contract and then all of a sudden think that he actually sucks. So I think they probably have more faith in him than a lot of us do, and that it was mostly injury-related last year. The second is they signed a couple of guys because they're going to draft a couple guys. And like we talked about with the offensive linemen, there's only so many reps to go around in training camp. There's only so many roster spots. So why spend extra money on guys that probably aren't going to end up being around? I think they feel like they can A, draft some guys, and B, if they need to later on, trade, sign street free agents, whatever it might be.
I find it amazing that we are 8 days away from the draft, and the Texans are a team that a decent number of people will put in the playoffs this season, and they have two just such desperate needs. And I'm talking like you go around the NFL, and the Texans' needs at corner and tackle are as desperate of needs as any team that you will find in the NFL.
Well, because of that, I don't know that a lot of people will put them back in the playoffs this coming season. I mean, six teams per year don't make the playoffs back-to-back seasons, and I feel like if you're going to pick a team to not make it, the Texans, with the way that they played against the Colts in the playoffs and with those needs that you talked about, are the natural selection.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine most people don't have them in the playoffs. The over-under on wins is 8.5.
Let me rephrase.
All right. Because they're a contender for the playoffs.
Yeah, let me rephrase. Yeah. For a team with as much top-end talent as they have, Watson, Watt, Hopkins, Clowney, it is amazing how desperate they are at these spots. Given the offseason, given the cap space that they had, and given the way the last game went.
It's not amazing because that's the same thing people were saying about them last year, was that they were really top-heavy. The amazing thing is that it's the same situation.
It's the same situation now as it was in January.
Except that I think it can change based on the draft. If you feel good about your offensive tackle, then all of a sudden, then, you know what, maybe you go in not being as top-heavy as last year.
They need a fourth receiver. I think all of us would agree if you put an over-under on Will Fuller about games, do we think he'll play at least 12? I would say less, so you better have another receiver.
I'm going to say more, but I'd be optimistic. Well, it's no reason at all.
It's contract
year. Well, yeah, I think he'll be healthy.
Contract year for him. It'd be great if he could stay healthy for the first time because he's played great. Hadn't dropped a pass since his rookie year. He and Watson, 11 touchdowns, 11 games together. But still, so you don't have to make a move like you did with Demaryius Thomas, you better have another one. I don't know. Maybe they think that's Vincent Smith. I'm not sure.
He's one of the fastest people on earth. I would say Vincent Smith is one of the 100 fastest people on earth.
Vincent Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they can line him up the 100-meter dash because he got trained for that event. But I would say
have to line him up in his lane.
He was one of the 100. He's one of the 100 fastest people on earth. I'll put him right there.
I'm gonna go with top 1,000.
1,000?
Yeah.
That's damn pauper talk right there.
It's a big world. You got 7-8 billion people.
Yeah,
right?
But how many countries are people actually like maximizing their speed? They're more worried about getting fed than actually out there training for speed.
I don't know. You got to run from like wolves and cheetahs. You know, that's difficult.
And like all of these other sports, football is one of the only sports where you're actually running at top end speed a lot. Like, it's really, you say that and people are like, what the hell are you talking about? Think about any other major sport.
Well, basketball.
Yeah, no, not
only
really.
Only on breakaways. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
No, top end. Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in basketball, it's kind of rare.
Very little running in hockey. Then with, let's see. Well, soccer, even soccer, it's not, you're dribbling a ball all the time.
So
You're not usually running. And then when you're running away from the ball, it's more just positioning and everything.
They need a fourth receiver. They need a third back who can catch. Who could shift into the slot, who might even do like Lamar Miller did when he didn't have to stay in for blocking.
John, you were
baseball,
the best.
Though.
He
baseball,
would lined up wide. So they got quite a few needs. They need third safety as well.
They do. I agree with that. And they brought in some guys, Darnell Savage from Maryland and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida, who I like. John, this is the most important question I will ask you all morning long. John, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Paul Gallant did a pub crawl this weekend where he was in a very strange getup. And he talked to a girl.
I looked sexy as hell.
For about 20 minutes.
See
and
my bulge.
He
got a
picture?
Oh, yeah, I can show you. Yeah, you want to see this? Oh, yeah.
Let me see if you look. I
look like
you
an
look
absolute.
Sexy as hell.
I looked like a sex god
so
in this
Paul,
picture.
He talked to a girl for 20 minutes. He got her phone number.
Look at this.
But, John, so.
Boy, you do. You look sexy as hell.
It's kind of like a, is it kind of like a Where's
be
Waldo
in
outfit?
Europe before a soccer match.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I like it.
Kind of look like a hooligan.
So Paul got a girl's number, but she ended
wearing
the.
That?
Yes. But she ended the whole interaction with a handshake. Is he in the friend zone?
It's after he asked her who the
You're
fifth, who
definitely
the fifth
in the
wide
friend
receiver
zone with a handshake, but if you like her, go for it.
So you think he's definitely in the friend zone already based on
if
just...
If she's shaking hands.
It's my
I
general
like
vibe. We still haven't texted her because I'm waiting for the poll to play itself out. I believe it's at... Is it at Echelon Says? I think it's at Echelon Says. But yeah, we're trying to figure out, okay, well, what's going on here? And then we're going to send a text in.
The general consensus is, okay, she's definitely not into you, but like, what does a phone call hurt? So just
ooh,
go
phone
for
call.
It.
Phone
yeah.
call is
yeah.
a text.
Seven. Oh, a text, whatever.
A phone call is a gigantic move.
She is phone 5 years older than me. I mean, that would okay. be, the, I mean, I have been talking about her on the radio for 2 days.
So you think maybe, she knows?
Maybe. I don't know.
Paul, I think you spend more time analyzing, like, the vibes you get from girls who definitely aren't into you that could be better spent, like, finding new girls. I don't think, like, that's definitely, like, okay, she shook my hand. Like, all right, I'm done with her. Just whatever. Maybe someday we'll
that's hard to let go.
I thought it was a fun story. That's the only reason I brought it up.
It is a fun story.
I know, and we're talking about it. I'm just saying, like, no, but I think sometimes you obsess over, like.
Yeah, I obsess over the hot ones.
Like, but it's the ones that.
What do you think? Duh!
I feel like, when you get a vibe that you feel like, that feels like a negative vibe, you gotta pretty much just go with that being that. If you run into her again or something, that's cool. You're a young single guy, you're 30, not as young as you used to be, you're in your 30s now. But you're out there, you're running around Midtown all over the place.
Hey, look, I feel fine about it. I honestly just want to know how other people feel about this.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, yeah, like a phone call doesn't hurt.
You phone just, call.
Yeah.
Okay. Vote
or
go
excuse
for
me,
it.
A text. I guess a phone call is a bigger deal these days.
You know what? No, so. I kind of want to do the phone call now.
No, but apparently they think you're a psycho if you call.
Whatever.
Phone call.
I am.
Phone call is a massive move these days. It's a massive move. I'll tell you that.
I'm just plopping your eggplant on the table. I'm going to do that.
John, thank you very much. We'll see
thank
you next
you guys
week.
Very much. I look forward to next week being up with you right before the draft.
John McClain brought to you by Horn Solutions. Remember, today is the day the NFL schedule and the Texans schedule is released. 7 p.m. later today, we have the Texans schedule release special tonight at 7. Sean Rich and former Texan Wade Smith, they'll let you know what the schedule is. They'll give you instant reaction and analysis. It is tonight, 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 610, Facebook Live, and the radio.com app as well.